Welcome to the Servant Soul Podcast, where we explore our identity before God and our relationship with God. I'm your host, Kenneth Grady, and I pray that we will be fed by the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, and living with passion for the will of God. And in so doing, may we raise each other up as we lay ourselves down before the Lord. This is the Servant Soul Podcast. So I thought I'd get a little further than I did in this passage this week. I want to try to stay as close to scripture as I can because it's important not to stray from the context. And if we do, it's easy to take a random verse and run with it. That being said, I never really want to just focus solely on understanding the concepts and context of scripture without understanding how that should affect our lives. Because ultimately, if we understand all the scripture but fail to let it affect us, then we've really just wasted our time. So today I do sort of take a verse and run with it, and I hope that in the context of the greater study that we're doing, that it'll find an appropriate place between Bible study and practical instruction. And just to recap briefly, the book of John is about who Jesus is. And last week we talked about the beginning of Jesus as expressed by John. And now we're going to take a look at the beginning of John the Baptist. And please note just for clarity that this passage written by the writer John is referring to John the Baptist, which is a separate, different John from John the writer. And it's interesting how the writer introduces John the Baptist differently than the other gospel writers did, similar to how he introduced Jesus differently. Because again, he goes straight to the significance of who John is rather than any details about his lineage or personal history. We go straight into how John sets the stage for the coming of the Messiah. And so the text for today is John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And like I said, I'm sorry, that's all the further we're getting this week. I promise we'll pick up the pace later. Now, as I said, the lens that we should be looking at the Gospel of John with is mostly focused on three things. Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. However, this passage does take a slight detour here to introduce John as the forerunner of Christ. And so today, we also take a bit of a long way around back to the central theme as we consider the man John the Baptist. And I just want to mention, as we get started, this idea that I learned in science classes, I'm sure most of us, of course, had to get through high school, of potential energy, that if you take a softball and a balloon and you drop them both, the softball, of course, makes a lot bigger impact when it drops than the balloon because there's more mass, there's more weight. And so in lifting it up, there's more potential energy in the softball. And the reason I point that out and to think about that and the impact that each item makes is that in verse 6, it's one of the most fascinating verses to me because John was a man, not an angel, not a voice from heaven, not a burning bush in the wilderness, just a man. And God desired to accomplish something, and he sent a man. And now it's over 2,000 years later, and we're still reading about this man. So I think, at least I hope we can agree, that there appears to be a lot of potential energy in this statement. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. So why is there so much potential energy, if you will, here? Because God is no different here than anywhere else in history. He doesn't change. God's nature is not what is unique about the situation, because God is consistent. And John doesn't possess some special power. And I think that's what I love about verse 6, that there was a man, just a man. And yet in this moment, it's like God's holding this bowling ball over the planet Earth and about to make a major impact. So what is so unique about this relationship? It wasn't something new about God. It wasn't a power John possessed in himself. The unique nature of the situation is in the sending. So then we have to ask, what does it mean to be sent by God? Because in some sense, I think that we tend to think all people as being sent by God in the sense that we're all his creation, we're all born. But that doesn't seem to be what's being noted here. It's more specific than that. And then sometimes we tend to think of ourselves as being sent by God in that we all have his written word and the commandments found there. And in some sense, that's true, of course. But that doesn't seem to be quite a fit for what's going on here either, because there'd be nothing unique to mention about John in that respect. Rather, the sending of John is a partnership between the will of God and the obedience of John. And I'm going to try to define to be sent, as expressed here, as the continual journey of John traveling in the direction of God's will under the continual authority of the sender. I'll say that again. to be sent is the continual journey in the direction of the sender's will under the continual authority of the sender. That doesn't mean that John was perfect, although Jesus did say in the first part of Matthew 11:11, truly I say unto you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. So the potential that is about to be unleashed through the life of John is found in the sending, not in the going of John alone, not in the instruction of God alone. Because, you know, a lot of people go and go and go, but aren't instructed by God, and a lot of people are instructed by God and never go. But the union of God's will and John's obedience is where we find that potential. So through that union, God was able to use John to roll out the carpet, if you will, for the arrival of Christ. So then I want to transition to the thought, do we all have that kind of potential? Keep in mind that God didn't need John to accomplish his will. If John had rejected the union between God's will and John's obedience, then God could have used someone else. And I do want to be careful not to minimize the fact that John the Baptist was sent for a specific mission in a specific time, and there was a uniqueness to that situation. So I don't want to imply that all of us are in position to be a modern John, if you will, if we're faithful enough. But in understanding the type of character that John had, I think we can glean from his life the type of character that God uses. And there are two ways to get off the sent by God train. As I mentioned briefly, going without being commanded and being commanded and not going. And repeat that. The two ways to get off of the sent by God train is going without being commanded and being commanded and not going. And I want to take a minute to consider each of those off-ramps. So going without being commanded first. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not about to suggest that Christians should remain idle until they get divine personalized instruction from the voice of God. Because the Bible is loaded with instructions on how to be busy serving the Lord, and there is no additional assembly required. The point we go off the rails is when we cease to be motivated by the commands of God and start turning towards the lust of the flesh. Because the world is full of busyness and activity. We go and go and go, but there is no value in the going in and of itself if it is not in the direction of God's will. And why would we work with just the potential energy that we have on our own when we can grab onto the potential energy that God has through faith and obedience? And that is why John's life made such an impact. John wasn't doing John's thing. He was doing God's thing. So in choosing the direction our lives take, we must be discerning that we are being led by the Spirit and not the flesh. As Proverbs 4:25-27 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And the second off-ramp, if you will, is being commanded and not going. Now, we can't judge someone's motives when we see them going. All we know is they seem really busy. But when someone's doing nothing, it's easy to see there's no fruit, whether it would have been properly motivated or not. It's really easy to see in somebody else, that is. But it's interesting how we're always getting ready to do what we believe. We're always getting ready to do that. And we often misuse words like growing, I'm learning, I'm maturing, to explain away the complete lack of forward momentum in our walk with God. And this is a bit harsh, but sit with this for a minute. How exactly have you been growing or learning or maturing? Specifically, what has God been doing in your life? And I promise I'm not saying this to insult or to judge. It's painful sometimes, myself included, to take an honest look at how far down the journey of God's will we have come before finding a great place to just park it. This is far enough. But Philippians 3:12-14 says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice the language. Press on, straining forward, press on toward the goal, upward. Growing isn't a passive thing. Press on, straining forward, press on toward the goal, upward. This is the intensity with which God desires us to pursue his will. That is what being sent looks like. So, are we sent or not? And I would give briefly two qualifying questions to consider. Now, these aren't necessarily the end-all be-all, but it's certainly a good thing to consider. One being, is it even possible for God to send us where we're going? Because if it's contrary to the word of God, then God didn't send us there. We've all got places on our journey that God isn't sending us. Speaking fondly about our pet sins with words like growing and maturing is a really cute mask for a really ugly problem. And we need to knock it off and be honest with ourselves and God. And the second question is, are we going anywhere at all? Passive inactivity is not faithfulness. Remember the servant who buried his coin in the ground? And that's in Matthew chapter 25. If you haven't read it recently, look it up and read it. Some of us struggle with nothing coming to mind about specifically what we're doing on our faith journey because sometimes, not always, but sometimes that is the correct answer. Nothing. We have taken what God has given us and buried it in the ground. So let's keep those two questions close at heart. Can God send me where I'm going? And am I going anywhere at all? If we can't answer both of those questions with a resounding yes, we've just found an area that separates our faith journey from the journey of someone who is sent by God. And again, to the text, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. What an honor and a privilege it would be to have that said of our lives. And we may hope and dream to be used by God in that way. But until we repent of self-centered, self-worshipping living and the general commands of God given in Scripture, how can we expect God to send us on something specific or unique? That doesn't mean that God won't use us in his grand design, as he uses even unbelievers at times to accomplish his will. That doesn't mean that you are useless or invaluable, but we're talking about being sent. The continual journey of traveling in the direction of God's will under the continual authority of God. Not perfection, but to set our aim higher and to strive to be a person that God can send. Because if we love God, then why would we set our sights any lower than that? And again, back to Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thanks for listening, and until next time, may we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.